Dear people, will you please open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And follow along as I read the first 11 verses. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Our study for several weeks now has been the subject of the Word of God for the Christian life. We have looked at ways, and we find in the Scriptures that the Word of God is central to the Christian life. A child of God will grow, will be strengthened, will be able to carry on, will be obedient as he or she submits themselves to the Word of God. There's no such thing in the Scripture that a Christian is one who can be that one who would turn aside from the Word of God and prove at the end, or boastingly saying that I am a child of God, but yet he will not keep himself close to the Word of God. We have moved to a subsection of this, in which I entitled The Duty and Results of Practical Obedience. One thing we need as we come to the Word of God is not just say, I read it, I understand it to some degree, or I even enjoyed it as it were put to hymns and I sung it. It must be obedience connected with it, and it must be practical obedience. I presented some foundational principles for you on practical obedience to God's word, which are found here in John chapter 15, between verses 1 and 11. We have looked at three of those principles already. The first one was the principle of wholehearted obedience. Jesus makes it clear that wholehearted obedience is the only way a Christian will have life and connection to him. Abide in me and I in you. Secondly, we saw the principle of practical obedience. It is the proof of salvation. He says, the one who is truly abiding in him, keeping his word, being obedient to his word, there is a proof of salvation. And it says that even in verse 10, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Fruit come from abiding in Christ Jesus, because he says, without me, you can do nothing. The third principle I brought to you was the principle of practical obedience has promised blessings attached to it. And there's one that really stands out, and that is in verse 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. As long as we say we are Christians, we're connected to Christ Jesus, and we find ourselves not doing and not being obedient, we have no reason to believe our prayers are going to be answered. But he says, abide in me, and I in you. But abide in my words, and whatever you ask, it will be given to you. This morning, I will take up the fourth and final principle in this passage. Now, that principle this morning will be the principle of the absence of obedience brings penalty. The absence of obedience brings penalty. Now, in this very passage, John 15, in verses 2 and 6, we find the truth related to us. Notice in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. And look at verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they burn. Looking at second verse first, he says here, they're taken away. They're cut off from Christ is really what he's saying. In verse 2, he said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Our Lord Jesus made it clear that there is a spiritual work that takes place in the life of the true believer. This work is under the control of the Father. He says that in verse 2 and in verse 3. He is the one who is responsible for the spiritual growth and ongoing work of sanctification in the life of a Christian. Here's what Jesus is saying. There is something that is going on behind the scenes, we could say, in you and my life as true Christians. This is clear from the positive part of the verse. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Now, one thing that people say and they believe or get to the point of believing that is that all of it is placed upon you. I've heard good sermons preached, and they're talking about we must progress in grace. We must do all that, seek after holiness. But they put it, all the part of it is on the believer, him or herself. They never see what God himself is doing. But Paul tells us that is a joint work. He says to the Philippian Christians, work out your soul's salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who works in you, giving you even the will and the ability to work for his good pleasure. But we are concerned here with the negative part of this verse. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Three things I could state under this, or are stated by this very verse. The spiritual state of the branch is the first thing that he's speaking of. The spiritual state of the branch. Every branch in me. Now, the spiritual state of the branch, I'm not saying that these are all true Christians, but the branch that Jesus is speaking about is the kind is connected to him. Because he is the one who says it himself, every branch in me, every branch that has some kind of connection to me, every branch that says that he or she is a child of God or is a Christian, this is what he's saying. In the context, Jesus is speaking of those who indicate some kind of attachment to him. They make a profession. They say, speaking to mankind, you know what? Here we are. We are Christians. One thing I want you to understand here, Jesus is not at this point talking about the difference between those who are saved and those who are unsaved as far as the whole world is concerned. But he's speaking of those who now come and make some kind of connection to him. In other words, I believe Jesus is saying all who come and say they believe in Christ, and mostly those who become members of churches. He says, this is the thing we should see and understand. He is speaking of those who make a profession of knowing Christ. They're saying they're abiding in Christ. They say they live for Christ. And so what they're saying here is that I am a Christian. And this is what I mean by when I say the spiritual state of the branch, which he's talking about. He's saying that this is them. On the outward, they look like they are Christians. The second thing we can see in this very passage is that the fruitlessness of the branch. Those that do not bear fruit. There is a clear expectation of fruit in the life of a Christian. Christ says it. And how could he have this clear expectation? Because all of us are so great, so good? No, because we have been changed. And here's what Jesus says to his disciples there, and he says this to us. When he takes his whole idea of the vine and the branch connected and abiding in him, he says in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. There's something that has taken place in you and has caused you to be connected to me and abiding in me. It's because of the word I have already spoken to you. And he says that after verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But you are already clean. So he's saying true Christians will not be taken away. But he says, and Jesus says here, the fruitlessness of the branch is another thing we see. There is a clear expectation, I said, that the fruit of the life of the Christian, the fruit comes from the attachment or remaining, living, abiding in Christ. And the pruning work is that of the Father. It is the Father that's doing all that's necessary. It is the Father as the vine dresser. We looked at this when we came to this point. He says in verse 1, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Now you put this in mind because this is basically almost like a parable here also. What is taking place is that he brings you into a grape harbor and you see all the grapes that go there. Bearing fruit, he looks at it. The Father comes to one vine, a branch, and he looks at it and he says, yeah, here's a dead part on here. He cuts it off so that there could be a new one come up and bear more fruit. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, every branch that's dead and dry on the very vine, he cuts it off and takes it away. It's the Father that's doing this. Jesus is saying to us here that the life of a child of God, the life of a believer, a Christian, is not one who is struggling through life and trying to make it by themselves, but God himself is working in the life of that Christian. If that's not the case, take it up with Jesus. He says it. And I'm not ashamed to say that. You may be a true child of God, and you may be now going to a place where you said, oh, my life is not really showing what it ought to show. Well, maybe there's something you need to get rid of so the Father's work will be the thing that will bring you to the point where you will bear more fruit. Christ said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit. He is saying that there are some people that are confessing attachment to him, but they do not have the marks of being attached to Jesus. That's what he's saying. They are not producing fruit. That's what he's saying. The fruit is not coming from them. In other words, they are not receiving life from the vine, nor the active ongoing work of the Father in proving fruit production, bringing them to a greater level of salvation, understanding, sanctification, growing in the word and the knowledge of the truth. It's not happening to them. And Jesus says there are some who are just like that. They say they are attached to me. But the very thing we see in this part is that the final state of the branch, he takes it away. Really, he, the Father, he removes the fruitless branch. The fruitless branch is detached from the vine. No pruning work is done. It is simply removed. That's what the scripture said, doesn't it? That's clear. But now go drop down to verse 6. What Christ does in verse 6 is that he opens up this very statement. He takes it away. And he shows us what that is. Because basically what he says in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. But notice in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Christ here opens up what really takes place. We only see or can hear the statement, but what's going on in the life of a confessing Christian behind the scenes, we don't see it. It's a divine work of God dealing with people. It is God himself as he now brings it to the point where he is showing that he is in charge of what's taking place. God is the one who's working in the life of every believer. God is the one who's bringing us to the point where we will bear more fruit from him. And if we're not bearing fruit, here's what it says in verse 6. He is actually going to do what is necessary. And it's a divine work of the Father. It says, first of all, if we find here, here's the very thing that we understand. This gives us an understanding of who the fruitless ones are that Jesus is speaking of in this very passage. He is not intimating that a Christian, someone who is truly saved, will be in this category. He's not saying that a Christian in his or her low states of spiritual growth is in danger of being cast away from Christ. He's not saying that. Because even the one with the little smallest fruit, we already know that the Father does the pruning work, that more fruit will be produced. So a Christian producing fruit, though at times maybe not the greatest, he or she remains connected to Christ. Jesus is speaking of an apostate or hypocrites, those who say that they are attached to Jesus Christ but are not. Their Christianity is in their words, not in their lives. They do not know Jesus Christ by saving faith, but they are members of churches and boast of living a life for Jesus Christ. And they can say they love him also. I believe this truth is so closely associated with Christ's words in Matthew chapter 7. When he says in verse 21, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Really? Christ says there's going to be those on that day. And in this section, believe it, he talks about fruit there. There'll be those who confess to know Jesus Christ, those who know him. He said, don't listen to what they say. You'll know them by their fruit. The fruit is the very thing. And he says in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 7, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from the bushes, nor figs from thistles, or are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So he says, this is really what takes place. Verse 20, so then you will know them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. You see, it brings us back to the word of God. This is the practical obedience to the word of God. Knowing the will of the Father, his will is put to us in his word. We follow his word. And so those who keep his word, Jesus says, these are the ones who will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, Jesus didn't say they didn't do some of those things. Judas went out and performed miracles. But he was of the devil from the beginning. So Jesus never even brings it up. He comes right to the heart of the thing. I'm not going to discuss with you what you claim to be. All the things that you have done. You have sung in the choir. And you were on the deacon board. You were pastor in the church. And so therefore, these things, oh God, look at me. I was there. And I did all these in your name. I don't even know you. Yeah, you stood up and preached, but you were nothing but a wicked man. Yeah, you were on the deacon board and everything else, leading the choir and singing, and your voice could be heard above every other voice. But I don't know you. And this is what Jesus is pointing us to. He's saying here that there are those who call themselves attached to Christ. And this is the only way to really look at this passage. But Jesus is telling his disciples, this is what you're going to see in the world. As you go out and you bring the gospel into the world and churches are planted, what's going to happen in those churches? Everyone in the church is not going to know Christ. Some are going to come in. As Jude said, they crept in unawares to spy out your good life. And they come. And they come to take from you all that you have. And he says, you know what's going to come to them? The same destruction that came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And even the angels who left their first estate. And so this is what Christ is saying. Because someone says, I am a Christian, that doesn't mean anything. Prove it. It's what Christ is saying right here. And it will be proved, he said, because it is God himself is going to cause fruit to come. If no fruit is there, no salvation is there. No connection to Christ is there. And this is what's going to be throughout the church. And if you look through the scriptures, you see there always became those who were attached to the church that were really not the part of the church. Paul says when he wrote to the church at Corinth, you know, I heard that there are divisions among you, and I believe it's so, because it must be, so you will be proved. So it will prove who you really are, because what you're going to do? You're going to find yourself standing strong on the truth. Word is going to bring fruit in you, and those who are not, they're going to know who they are also. Now, there are, in this verse, there are five things that come out here, which is a powerful thing. So it says, here are the details that's going to happen who those in this very passage. He says here, first of all, in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, first of all, he is thrown away. He is thrown away. He is cut off. The fruitless branch is removed from the fellowship of the fruitful branches. He is no longer attached to the other fruitful branches, is what he's saying. He's thrown away. The apostate and the hypocrites will not enjoy the spiritual fellowship and worship of the true disciples of Jesus Christ. They may be attached to him for a while. They may be going on with them. They are betrayed, though, because they have no real longing for the word of God or the means of grace. These things don't move them. They become a part of it and they go along with it. In most cases, as you saw in John's first epistle, they try their best to change things to what they want it to be. So it'll become flesh-type, man-centered worship. It is the Father, by his sovereign work, that removes the fruitless branch from the body of Christ. We don't see this work taking place in them. They can stay around a long time. But there will come a time when they'll be separated from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that. And it's been seen over and over again throughout church history that those who said they were and they were not. Paul himself can say, Demas, he's left me loving this present world. And there's a lot that wind up doing the same thing. Oh, some of the wonderful books we read and some of the men who wrote those books. And there's some that when it came to their deathbed, their theology had changed. The one man, such a book, I got so much out of it. It's so helpful to me. And when he was on his deathbed dying, he said he don't believe there's no such thing as hell. He don't believe a lot of the things about Christ. A lot of people are attached to what they believe Christ Jesus, but they have no fruit. And they can get into the midst of us. Kind of reminds us of the parable we read this morning, the wheat and the tares, honey. They look just alike. You can't tell them apart. I can't tell them apart. I don't care. We sit down and we have meetings with people who want to become a member of the church. We can't read hearts. But what we do, we look for fruit. We do look for fruit. We don't ask, what is your fruit? But we look and we try to discern in the questions and the answers given to us, there's some fruit in this person's life. He is thrown away. He's taken away. He's separated from the church. That's the end. But we know if it's not at that time, he's separated at the last day. We read that a few times. Notice it back over in Matthew chapter 13. You don't need to turn it. I'll just read it to you. 41 of Matthew 13, the Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 49. So it will be at the end of the age that the angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So Jesus is saying, here's what the Father is doing. First of all, they're going to be thrown away. Then he says here, and they're going to dry up. The branches that are thrown away. Now, that's a very simple picture, isn't it? You take a branch, and if it's broken off the tree, and you see it laying on the ground, it could be full of leaves. But that time you come back, you see all of a sudden the leaves are starting to crinkle up and just fall. You can tell no more life is in them. And he says this is going to happen. They're going to dry up. They're going to prove that there is no life in them. They're disconnected from God. They're going to show that from a while, all that they thought, that you thought they had, I thought they had, is gone. The absence of the grace of God in the heart and life of such a person causes them to dry up spiritually. And I say the absence is because there is a such thing in the scriptures as those who are connected in some way to the body of Christ sometimes receive benefits from that. Paul proved that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 when he says about a husband and man and only one is saved. He says, your husband is sanctified because of you. In other words, in a sense, he's set apart from other things. He is close to God's people and he will receive some special benefits from that. You children right now, you don't know what you're receiving because you have a saved parent. Mother and father who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, you're receiving things which are the benefits that God has given you because he's given it to your parents. You are not out there like other ones. Even those benefits is even character building and control and things that you put in you to make you a person who is really walking on the way. You know right from wrong and you will not go headlong in the wrong. That's a benefit from you. Those are graces given to you. And these come, and they find themselves close to this. They're in the community of God. They're hearing the word of God. And even now and again, the Spirit comes and convicts them in their hearts. And they say, you know what? I need to get saved. I don't believe there's not a child in this place that haven't thought of that. Unless you're so young, you just didn't think about it. I need to get saved. But what do? You go out of this place, and other places they do this, you go out of this place, and you start running, and having fun, and jumping, and that's all that. Everything is gone. We pray to God there'll be a time in your life when that will not be the case. But you know something? You don't have to be a little child to be that way. You can be an adult, and you leave, and hear the word of God pricked you as you heard it. But as you get up to the end of the sermon or the service, you go out here and every other thing that's so important to you, boom, it comes in. That's the same as snatching the seed away, you know. And there you are. You think about everything else. You think about where you're going to go. What you had planned even for this day. Oh, forget the fact that it's the Lord's day. I don't know him. Matter of fact, I'm just here because Mama brought me here. My father said, I better sit and be quiet and give honor to God as. But you know what? They dry up. They shrivel up like a broken branch off a tree. It doesn't matter how much they hear and how they participate in worship. They will not produce fruit. Sometimes it grieves me to see at this from this vantage point, we sing in a hymn and some go, you can at least sing to Christ. You can sing to God. If you don't have salvation, you have mercy today. You're alive. You had a breakfast. You had this. If you're a child, you have everything. You know, you go and you pick which thing you want to wear. You have much above people. And some say, you know, some of you children need to go to some of these countries where they don't have anything. They're scrambling around in the garbage to get a bowl of rice that has been, you know, infested with all kinds of worms and everything, but I want something to eat. And you get up in the morning, and in some cases your parents will say, what do you want for breakfast? And you don't even have the proper sense to sing a hymn to God with all your might. Oh, I know you can't sing it from your heart. But you can say, He is eternal God. You know that. We don't even have to convince you of that. You know that. Dries up in the Christian life. Their connection to the Christian, I should say, they dry up. Some people do pretty good. The unconverted, that is, who believe they were Christians and are connected to the church, they do pretty good while they're connected to the church. Once they come to the place where they know there's no joy, I have no joy for this. I'm not really connected to this loving Christ and serving, and they wind up leaving and go out. Their lives go down, down, down. Now, they may have the things of this world. They may think they got it made. And they may buy big houses and have great jobs and all like that. But they're dried up inside. They're spiritually dead. They have nothing. And those are the kinds that you find out that they kill themselves, jump off bridges. They lose their money and they think their life is gone. They're all gone. No spirituality in them at all. They dry up. And this is what he says. First of all, they're thrown away, and then they dry up. They dry up. Nothing's any akin to Christ. Oh, some of them, they fool themselves, and they say, I'm still religious. I'm still believing in God. I'm doing all this. They fool themselves about that, and they say, what I'm doing is I'm just worshiping in my own way. How many times you heard people say, I don't have to go to church on Sunday. I worship in my home. Some of them say, I turn on the TV and watch the preacher man on the TV. That's fine. I don't have to do all that. I have so many in the past year, 10 years or so saying that. I don't need organized religion. I worship God the way I want to worship Him. But guess what? You're not worshiping Him at all. You got some other God, but you don't have God in Christ. You have something that you have made up. You have something that has become an idol to you, and you think there's life in it. And he doesn't realize. He's dried up. The very thing Christ says here. And they gather them. Well, you know, that seems to point to the fact that they being maybe the angels themselves that come at the end to gather. But you notice he changes from the singular to the plural in his point. He says he is thrown away, he dries up, then they gather them. It's saying now that the whole lot of these people, all of those hypocrites, apostates, and such, he's going to gather all of them. Isn't that again what we saw in Matthew chapter 13? They come, the angels are going to gather them up on the last day. At this point, there is a change, as I say, in the very singular to the plural of the verb. They gather them up, the final day. What they're going to do? They're going to bring them up to final judgment. And you see, this is the thing. People don't realize that you're going to meet a judgment. And that judgment, you're going to be brought before Christ. Christ makes it clear here. If you live a life where you think you're attached to Him, but you really aren't attached to Him, you guess what? The end is going to be not so happy for you. Forget about all the things that you think. That, you know what? Christianity is like this, or I worship this way. But those are two, they're two straight arrows for me. I don't like being there. Is it God's word? Now, there's some churches I won't go to either because they're way off board. But is it God's word? If a church is giving you God's word, you need to listen to God's word. That's the truth. And not just say, well, they're not doing the way I like it done, or this or that, the other. Are you receiving the word of God? Here's what Christ is saying. The way they know that you are a child of God, I don't care where you go, it could be a place where you say, they're not really like I like it. But if the word of God comes, you can grab that word and you feel like your soul has been satisfied. There may be some other things going on in there that you say, I don't like it that much. But did you receive the word? Christ is here. It's all around the Word. It's verse 7, he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. This has not come away from practical obedience. It is actually the foundation of practical obedience. This is all that should be done, what you should be doing. It is God's word. Here he says, what's going to happen? They will be gathered. They're going to be gathered. And gathering them, you have the picture of Jesus Christ. He knows. He knows all and everyone who really belongs to him. If you've got some question today, you say, I'm a Christian, and you wonder if you really belong to him, guess what? Check your fruit. Check your fruit. Simple. Here's what Christ says. He lays this down. This is a powerful passage. He's talking to his disciples before he goes to the cross. He says, you know what? Check your fruit. What are you doing? If you're bearing fruit, and not only just bearing now, but there should be an ongoing process of growing and producing more fruit. Isn't that you? This is what you do. If that's not you, you should say, oh, Lord, I need any help. You should bow down and plead to God. I don't want to be gathered up with the whole bunch of the wicked ones that are going to be cast out of the presence of God. And he says, and they throw them into the fire, and they are burned. We don't need to say much about that. I've already read another part. This is the end. This is the determinant. What's going to happen to them? And notice what Jesus, there's nothing in here that talk about any chance. So this is not looking at something and saying that Christ is the teaching here is that even the unconverted, even the one who is lost from Christ, you have a chance to get back there. This is not the point. The point here is those who do not have life in Christ will be cast into hell. I don't know another way to say it, dear people. This is what's going to happen. And if you go back, and I'll just go back, if you read again in Matthew chapter 13, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus gave four parables here. And actually, in those parables, he ends it off with the fact that here is the judgment that comes to those who are not in Christ Jesus. Jesus says, abide in me. Well, what do you do with this today? What do I do with this today? Well, I think, first of all, this passage demands that all of us take a spiritual inventory of our lives. It demands it. It demands that we stop and say, who am I? Am I really abiding in Christ? Am I really a Christian? Am I connected to Christ? We must be sure that we are one that are bearing fruit and that we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If he gave this to his apostles before he went to the cross, he wanted them to teach this truth to the churches as they would go out and bring the gospel. That there is one thing only that we must do. Those who know Christ, stay attached to Christ. Now, one of the words here, abide, is given to us in the imperative. Meaning that it is a command. But that command doesn't mean that we produce all that needs to be done. But it means that we look at ourselves and we see and we say, you know something? I've been sloppy here. I've used excuses over here. And I've let the world push this out over there. And we can say, that will not continue from this point on. That's what we are doing. And when Jesus says, abide in me. Keep yourself in me. Remain in me. Attach to me. It's not that you're not already attached, but he says this. Make sure you stay attached. And that being done is the only way I believe it could be done for us to really take spiritual inventory of who we are. What is my life like? Am I a Christian? Are there Christian fruit which is coming from me? This is what we should say. And a Christian fruit is love to God in Christ. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he your all in all? Or is he something or someone you just tip the hat to? You came to a point in your life and you said, okay, I know I need to be a Christian. I understand that. It all has been taught to me all the way up, even from a baby. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. But are you really one who loves the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he the most important in your life? Or is your life the most important? See, love to Christ will not take a second seat on the throne of your heart. Jesus said it. He says, if you love father, mother, sister, brother, husband, wife, or even your own self more than me, you're not worthy to be my disciples. Hence, in these words, you are not abiding in me. Your life does not show that you are connected to me. A transformed life is another Christian fruit we have. That life which is transformed. What were you? What are you now? Everyone who is a child of God can say, this is what I was. I can look back and see a clear mark of a line of demarcation where what I was and what I am, they're not the same. It don't matter what the sin was that I was fondling with, loving with, rolling with, having all the fun with, it was broken. Some it took a little more than others, but it's truly broken. And that's why the Apostle Paul can say, such were some of you. Is there a transformed life? Obedient living. Do you read God's word and say, I don't really understand what it says, but it says this. I'm not sure that but you know what? It says it, I'm going to read it. You know what obedience is? You don't have to understand to obey. You just obey. Don't you tell your children that? Go over there and do so and so. Why? I told you, go and obey. That's it. Do you obey the word of God like that? Or do you say, well, I'm not sure this is what the word is really saying. And you could turn to six passages that say the same thing, but you're trying to find one that says what you wanted to say. That's the obedience to Christ or obedient living. That obedient living brings us to the point where we humble ourselves before the word of God and we fall before Christ and says, this is what we're going to do. And we say, as the psalmist says, no longer will I walk in this way. I will keep my feet in the path of your obedience. Oh, Lord, help me from not slipping. You know how weak we are, but you have said, I am going this way. But you say, Lord, keep me and give me the power to go the way I ought to go. That's obedient living. Not making excuses. Why? And some people right on down to the point, well, I don't need to go to church today. Well, I don't need to do this today. No. If that's the case, you ought to check it. You ought to say, who am I? And what about spiritual growth? Are you different this week than you were last week? And I believe, dear people, we can, as we abide in Christ, we will see the growth as we go along. We will actually be able to see. I said to Lorraine about a month ago, there, you know, I said, you know something? I see growth in my life. You know, some people think the pastor, well, they don't have to do anything. They're all right. No, we don't. We got to grow too. Amen. We got to do all we need to do. We have to abide in Christ. I'm telling you, if I don't abide in Christ, I go up here and try to preach. Guess what? Fall flat. Because you're going to be listening to a heart that's so cold and undetached from Christ. You're going to say, that man doesn't mean what he's preaching. But I have to be in him, attached to him, to give his word to you the way it ought to be. So that has to be spiritual growth. Paul told Timothy what he must do. He must make sure he stay himself, keep himself in the word of God, so your progress may be seen by all. And I'll cap it off with this. The Apostle Paul says, those who are in Christ, they walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And then he tells us what the works of the flesh are. And I would entreat you to read Galatians chapter 5 and see what the works of the flesh are. And if you see that in your life, you need to say, this needs to go. But he does tell you what the fruit of the Spirit is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you see that? I've heard a lot, you probably heard a lot too, but Christians say, you know, I pray to God because there's an area in my life that I just don't seem to be getting over that hurdle to do better. So I pray to God for patience. And we say, uh-oh, you know what? God's going to work patience in you, but it's not going to be a little drop come out of heaven. Here goes patience, just moving right through your whole body. No, he's going to put you in a situation where you're going to be tested so, and you have to then show patience. Self-control, he's going to put you in a situation for some of us, some of you too. You may be walking through Macy's, and you see it there, you know you don't have no money to buy it. The credit card is near the top. And you're saying, you know what? Self-control. I do not need that. And you're going about your business. I came up here to go to the shop right, and I wound up in Macy's. Lord, get me out of here. That's what it is. It's just that simple, people. You know, people come to Christ and they look for these, this high, lofty stuff God is doing. He's dealing with us right in the everyday fabric of life. Patience, Lord, give me patience. Riding down the highway, somebody cut in front of you. Oh, what? Uh-oh, you just missed the opportunity to see the Lord cut off a branch which is withering and no fruit in order that fruit may be born. That's what it is. The passage demands, dear people, that all of us take a spiritual inventory of our lives. We must be sure that we are in the faith. We are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not walk along and say, you know, it's kind of all right. I confess Christ. I'm living in Christ. I'm doing some of these things. But then there's some other things I have not yet gotten to. They used to tell me long ago, 15, 20 years ago, well, I don't know if I should do that. I don't feel led. I point them to the scriptures. What does the scripture say? Abide in me. But I don't feel led. Well, something's wrong if you don't feel led. It's not feeling led. It's being obedient. What if your child come to you, you say, go take the garbage out to your son or whatever. I don't feel led. I got something that's going to lead you. And sometimes that's what Christ has to do. I don't feel led. And all of a sudden, here you are. Something is tumbling down in your life. And they say, oh Lord, why do you have this happening? Well, abide in me, and it wouldn't be happening. Secondly, dear people, don't be satisfied with a mediocre Christian life. Christians get to the place where I'm saved, I'm going to church, and you read the Bible, you have some strength, and you really love the Christ, you know, but it's just mediocre. You're not really pushing to be any better. You're not wanting to show more for Christ. You're not doing anything to make this life now stand out, as it were, in the midst of a darkened world as a star. Everybody's saying, this is what a Christian is. You're not doing that. You just say, well, you know what? I'm not sinning, but ain't no horrible sin or anything like that, you know. Oh, yeah, I got the everyday sins that somebody had, but I confess those and I kind of turn away from it. But nothing is really being done. The whole passage itself is that not that you just bear fruit, but that you bear more fruit. Don't you want to bear more fruit? Don't you want to be fruitful for Christ Jesus? And he says also, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. Much fruit. Look at your little apple, if you want to use that as an analogy, or your cluster of grapes. You know, the grapes look so puny and dried up. You look at that, you're satisfied with it? Apple small, it just won't grow. Just staying there, been that way for about 2 years, won't grow. You satisfied with it? Or are you going to come to Christ Leave it all there. Show yourself abiding in Him. Bring in your whole life before Him. And the Father begins to do His pruning work. Apple starts to grow. And you know what? You do not get prideful in that. You do what Christ says. This is what He's done. He says in verse 11, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. You're rejoicing. It's joyful. You don't go around telling the whole world, guess what? I just got away out of this sin and it's been done. Or, you know, boy, my mornings are much better. I'm reading. You don't do that. You give joy to God for who you are now. Here's what He says. Abide in me. And I put this onto it. Abide in Him. Don't say I'm going to start tomorrow. Don't say I'm going to start tonight. Today, right now. In our hearts, we should say, Jesus, from this very moment on, you have a different child here. This sheep is going to walk differently. He says, abide in me. This is the word of God coming to you right now today. It is a command to live your life according to the scriptures. You turn to the Bible. When it says it, you do it. And that's all. How are you going to enter into 2015? This is the last Lord's Day of 2014. How are you going into 2015? Carry the same old baggage of this year? More concerned about life and pleasure and a life of ease? Or you're going to bring yourself to the point where you're ready to strike this body as much as needed in order to abide in Christ and to glorify the Father which is in heaven? Well, to you, the unconverted, we know some children in here that don't know Christ. You know, there's some who believe that they may know Christ. I say to this, you've been coming to this church, but that does not bring you into a relationship with Christ. Because you're part of the church, you need to repent and trust Jesus Christ as Savior. To do that, you must go to Him and seek forgiveness for your sins. I would say to you, as it says here, abide in Christ. You can cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I want to be united to you. I want to be where I will not be cast out in the end, but I will be those who will be with you and go into heaven with you. Trust in His death on the cross is what you have to do as the only means, no other means, the only means of peace with God. I don't care what kind of religion is out there. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. It doesn't matter. They call three great religions of the world. Well, they could be great religions of the world, but there's only one true way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't believe that, you might as well just forget everything Jesus said. Because everything I said to you now doesn't mean anything to you. But we know that's not the case. He spoke the truth, and we are the ones who speak the truth. Our disobedience turn to obedience when we're connected to Christ. Your disobedience, if you're unconnected to Him, will follow you to the grave. And that disobedience will take you into the fires of hell. You know, that's kind of the thing going around today. Don't preach about hell. You know, that's, I don't even know if that really exists. Is there a little place of hell? Well, Jesus says, in that place there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I'm not going to try to figure out where that place is, but Jesus says that's the place sinners are going. And that's enough for me. It ought to be enough for you to run from that place and ask God to be merciful to you. Ask Him to save you. Dear people, think about yourself. What kind of Christian are you? Are you one that abides in Christ? Doesn't matter how long we've been going to church. I know a man, he was a preacher, a pastor. He figured he had preached to the church about sin. And he realized he was an unconverted man. stepped down because he needed Christ to save him. And Christ did save him. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've been, how long you've been here. If you come to this and you take inventory of your soul, you say, when I go to 2015, all those wicked things and the sloppy, slouchy Christian going to be left behind. I'm coming in as a new man, woman, boy, or girl. Let us pray.